Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back. Welcome to what the hell is today's date? February, I don't know anymore. February 3rd or 4th or 5th. It doesn't matter.
February the 4th. Good grief.
Okay. The bottom line is this, that ladies and gentlemen, the Absolute Truth Show is back right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, one of the most, the king of kings himself. Damn, I sound so great. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have Sean Black.
Yeah. Thank you. Sean Black in the building once again. Are you finished patting yourself on the back?
Oh, no. I have to give credit to somebody else, unfortunately. Unfortunately, she is the biggest Patriots fan out there. She was so happy last night about her team, unlike everybody else. I have Lady T in the house, everyone.
Go Patriots!
Oh, Lord, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be a long hour.
Oh, gosh. I'm ready to end the show right now.
Yes.
Party number
done.
12 with six rings. Go, Patriots.
Oh, God. As a disclaimer, I'd like to apologize to anybody out there. If you hear me cursing the AT out, there's a reason, okay? I'm sorry.
It is what it is.
But before we get started, guys, you know the number, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Before we get off to stop pissing people off, Sean Black, is there something you would like to say or dedicate this show to?
Yes, I'm going to dedicate this show to my grandmother, Ruby, who passed away back on the 17th of January, which is one of the reasons why we haven't done the show in a while. So she was 93. Very good woman. I'd like to thank all of the people that came to the viewing and came to the funeral. I know Hot Rod was there at the viewing, and a lot of the other friends of mine that came by that have known me long enough, and all the other people, family members, et cetera, that came to see the viewing, and they came to the funeral. And it really helps me and my family out that so many people came out and were able to enjoy the time as far as getting to know the people that my grandmother knew. So it touched my heart, it touched my family's heart, and I thank everybody that knows me, that knew her, and the ones that didn't know her that came by anyway as a gesture of being good and close to me and my family. I thank you, and my family thanks everybody else.
And, of course, Lady T, when I went to go see Sean, I was very upset. I know it was the time to pay respect, but Sean Black had the nerve not to give me the VIP treatment when I entered the area.
Oh.
I did not see no red carpet. I did not see no flashing lights. I'm like,
because Hot
no
Rod, it wasn't about you. I would have gave you a smack. Anyway, condolences and big hugs to you, Sean.
Thank you.
But I'm confused. If it's not about the Hot Rod, then who is about?
It is about Ruth. That's who it was about.
Okay.
There you
fine,
go.
No problem.
Sean Black, change the subject. Change the subject quickly.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
All right. So let's change the subject. Like I just mentioned, Patriots fans, of course, Patriots won last night. Super Bowl on the lowest rated Super Bowl of all time in over 10 years. Because no disrespect, despite how much I can't fan the Patriots, ADT, overall it was a boring Super Bowl. But that was not the major talk of the Super Bowl. Teacher brought up to my attention this morning about Adam Levine, the Maroon 5 singer, and what he did on stage. While he was performing, he took his shirt off, and the internet went crazy. It went wild. Why is that, Sean Black?
The reason why, maybe it has something to do with the fact that Adam Levine, being a male, decided to expose his nipples on camera, whereas Janet Jackson, back during the Super Bowl, where we remember the whole Justin Timberlake wardrobe malfunction had her nipple shown on camera for the brief amount of time that it was, and she was completely ostracized from not only just the Super Bowl, but she didn't really perform or get any kind of attention for quite some time. Whereas Justin Timberlake, who was on the stage with her, and if I do remember, it was his idea for the whole revealing of the breast, his career went straight through the roof. So I think there was a double standard that was looked at, is how is it he's able to expose his chest to the public during a Super Bowl, no less, whereas Janet Jackson did the same thing, although in a different circumstance, and was not a pretty sight in the sense of the attention that happened afterwards.
Well, as I discussed to T earlier this morning, to me, this is all hoopla, all garbage, overrated. Society needs to find something better to do.
I don't think it's overrated. You know why? Because if that had happened again and it was a woman performing once again and she just ripped off her shirt in respect to, let's say, Make America Great or something, it would be a big problem. So I don't think it has anything to do with that. And for the record, I would have preferred to see Janet Jackson's nipple versus Adam Levine's own. Sorry to say it like that. He didn't show anything. He should have kept his shirt on.
But I'm just trying to understand. Please educate me. What's the problem of a man being half? Well, I'm not gonna say half naked, shirtless on a stage. It's normal for a guy to be shirtless. I just don't understand what's the big hoopla about that.
What do you mean what's the big hoopla? First of all, you came to perform at the Super Bowl, number one. From the time that stuff happened with the Janet Jackson one, and hers was a malfunction. That's the key word right there. That was a malfunction. Did he rehearse this and rehearse this and rehearse this and decided I'm going to take off my shirt right then and there? Or did he do
Maybe
it in the moment? Regardless, the NFL, the same way that they treated her, from the time that he came on there or anybody who performed after her in all these years, they should have set boundaries and said no one is to expose themselves on stage. There was kids in the audience. There was kids watching the Super Bowl and stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? So from the time that Janet Jackson stuff happened, they should have enforced certain things, certain rules. We're not going to expose ourselves because what's going to be the next thing? Somebody might drop their pants next time? Like, give me a break with this.
But even more so, if you remember, for a great amount of time, they didn't even have certain African-American acts during the halftime show because of the blowback that the whole wardrobe malfunction had. If you remember, it was quite some time before you even had anybody associated with hip-hop or R&B show up and do
And may
they
I say something, Sean
rock.
Black, real quick, not cutting you off, but right on that point that you're making, wasn't Beyonce like the first person to come and perform? And when she wore that, I think it was like short pants with the leggings, she had it on, you know, like the clear tights, it was a problem with that too.
Yes, and it was also looked at as her being militant or using the message that she was using at the time. I forgot what the message was, but
it was Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Lives, yeah,
yeah,
same thing.
And a lot of people thought, well, how can she be so ignorant to such and such, and it's supposed to be about we don't need to see you talk about the degradation of society, all of the negativity that came along with that. So with that, you have that backlash. But also at the same time, now we get with the Adam Levine incident, if you want to call it an incident. I think what the main issue is that in America, males walk around in public, depending on weather or whatever is the case, shirtless, and there's no problem. Women, if they walked around shirtless, could be subjected to potentially getting arrested, getting a ticket, et cetera, et cetera. We've heard all of the hoopla of all of the morons that are out there that actually have an issue or take umbrage with women breastfeeding in public. So there has always been that stigma. It's almost like that last taboo, so to speak, of the female being exposed because of that same reasoning, whereas males who, quote-unquote, don't nurse, it's fine for them to do that. And there's that double standard that always goes back and forth with these kinds of instances. As far as this being a controversy goes right now, I guess it would be if Lenny Kravitz did the same thing or if Jay-Z did the same thing. I don't think you would have heard as much if the Janet Jackson thing did not happen at all. As far
but
as it being a discussion.
You're doing it at a Super Bowl. You're not doing it at your own concert.
And that's my thing.
You're a guest.
Exactly.
That's two different things we're talking about. He could have did that at his own concert all day. Who cares?
Exactly.
But that's the point that I'm making.
But, guys, I disagree 100% respectfully. Well, let me be honest. I just don't care. I guarantee NFL know about these things. They rehearse all the time. They allow it. So, understand what you mean, Tisha. There should be dress code, if there's a dress code or whatever. If the NFL allow it, there's no problem. There's a reason for a 5-second delay. And if he took off his shirt and the NFL had a problem, they're going to take a shot of the audience if they want to.
Exactly.
And the thing about seeing a male nip or whatever, Sean and I, we're 40-year-old men. We watch wrestling. They wear shirtless all the time. An athlete, a basketball player, may change his shirt in the middle of the game on the sideline.
It's their event. But it's their event. They are not a guest at another event. That's my point that I'm making.
And it's also the fact that the
Hold on. Sean, I gave y'all guys time. We finish this, then I'll give it to you. This is a hoopla over nothing because this is the way society is here. I'm not criticizing Janet Jackson and say, yes, what happened to her was wrong. But this happened 15, 20 years ago. We keep comparing the past to the present right now. And like you, I do agree, if Janet had done the same thing right now, especially in the so-called Me Too movement BS, yes, teacher, I went there, it'd be a whole different story. Now, my thing I'm upset about last night performance is, how can one man come out shirtless while you have Big Boa coming out in a fur coat? That did not make no sense to me at all. That's all I have to say. Go ahead.
I understand. But
Big Boy, right?
Yeah, he came in the fur. I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, because you said Big Booba. I'm like, who's Big Booba?
This is how we're talking about. He's not
get
sober
my outcast
right now.
Squad name correct. Like, Big Booba, who's that?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care about your little rapper.
What I was going to do is add to your point in the fact that the reason why the halftime shows are the way they are and the reason why they didn't pull away when Adam Levine did this, the NFL produces this whole thing. It's not as if this was an Adam Levine production or if this was a Beyonce production. The NFL actually produces the halftime show. And if you see at the end of the halftime show, it's produced by the NFL Network. So they're the ones that have the final say as to what's going on. So
if
there was no issue,
to take it off,
then it wouldn't be on.
They probably told him to take his shirt off. Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm
that's another thing. Maybe they wanted it to be a little bit hyped up like what we're doing right now.
Maybe.
I'm just saying that society just needs to relax. We have other issues to worry about. There are guys showing his nipples on again. And talk about nipples, you got Phil on the line now, Phil.
Oh, boy.
What is that?
Well, first and foremost, Sean, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
On your grandma, I'm sorry. I've been there with mine, so I know what you're going through.
Thank you.
Second of all, I'm watching WWE Monday Night Raw. You got kids in the audience, and how many of them are actually halfway exposed, showing their nipples?
I'm sorry.
And Lady Tisha over there is getting upset about the Super Bowl. Come on.
That's the feel that I know.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on. First of all, overall, the whole halftime show to me sucked anyway.
Yeah.
And the game was as boring as I've never seen such a boring Super Bowl in my life. I mean, the only thing that had me and some friends staying up was Tony Romo actually had jokes while he was on the air.
Yes.
And a laugh at Tony Romo's jokes, especially when he said we were on a scoring spree when the Rams tied it up, was hilarious.
Oh. Okay. Are you finished venting, Phil? Are you done?
I see my Phil got jokes tonight. Oh,
hey,
my
hey,
God.
Hey, and
I
saw some, hey, and then I saw some drunk guy on Facebook cursing at the Patriots while drinking Grey Goose. I wonder who that was.
Hmm. Okay, Phil, you're on mute right now. I gotta go, Phil. Okay. Hold on. Okay. On to the next topic. Talk about Jordan Miss.
Oh, my goodness.
Sean Black want to talk about the Virginia governor, Ralph. What's his name? Norman or Northam?
His name is Ralph Northam.
Yes, why do you want to talk about him, Sean Black?
Okay. For those that haven't been following this particular story, it's about the governor of Virginia, who is a Democrat, and I'm bringing that up for a reason, to let people realize that, is in a whole lot of hot water because of a photo that surfaced from his yearbook in 1984 that shows purportedly a picture of him in blackface standing next to somebody in a KKK outfit. Now, the reason why this is being so, this has been thrown out there is because we've discussed in the past on this particular show the history of blackface, which I will not get into because most people that listen to the show already know that. But from the sense of a governor who is, we've established a lot of the times that we've talked about, at least in a lot of the other examples, have been Republicans that have shown a lot of the racist instances that have happened allegedly in their past. We now have a Democrat who is showing that there is some really disgusting racial things in the past that are coming to light. And the explanations that are being used are, they don't float. First off, the one thing that he brought up in his press conference is he talked about, well, I am not in this picture. This is not me. Then he's kind of talked it, tried to walk that example back of saying that in this picture, I regret some of the things that I've done in the past. I dressed up like Michael Jackson. And then he said, I've never used blackface. Then he's saying that you can't put shoe polish on your skin because it's hard to wash off, which from that sense is alluding to the fact that he has done this blackface stuff before, and then he's apologized. And the worst part about it is he actually thought about dancing like Michael Jackson at this press conference. This shows you even how more tone deaf he is to his own subject. So now we have a potential powder keg of racial nonsense going on here. You have an elected official that is a Democrat in a southern area in Virginia where racism is still around. And we're talking now the 400th anniversary of the first slaves coming in Virginia, on Virginian land. So there's a lot of significance to this. Now, the lieutenant governor, his name is Justin Fairfax, who is three generations removed from his family being owned by slaves, is potentially the guy that can take over as governor if this guy actually steps down. So I'm going to ask any of you guys in the panel this question. After seeing this and hearing what I just explained to you, do you believe that he has a chance to use this as a teachable moment and try to show some sort of contrition and teach people, you know what, I don't need to resign my post as governor, although I did something racial in my past. Let me show you that I'm not the same person. Or do you think it's better for him to step down and do it as a civilian and not be governor?
I give it to Phil because he's closest to the southern. Phil, you take it away.
Well, this whole thing with the governor has been a hot topic down here for the last, I don't even know how many weeks. And apparently what he, I mean, there's no denying that's him in the photo. I mean, you know, if you're going to be that stupid in the past doing that, you know, I believe in karma. I mean, I know what goes around comes around, and it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, and whatever he did in the past, now it's finally coming back around to nip him in the butt. And I think the best thing that he needs to do at this time is what Sean said, resign as a civilian and not be the governor. because if he doesn't, it's just going to keep going on and on and on until he winds up caving in.
Okay. What do you think, Hot Rod?
Oh, I'm sorry. I, of course, because I'm the Hot Rod, I'm the brain of the operation. I think he should stay on. Okay, I'm a little bit split. He should stay on as a teachable moment because we all make stupid things in the past. And something like that, whether it's racist or it's funny back then, 1984, it should be like, it was a mistake back then. What is he doing now to correct that mistake? So if he's using this as a teachable moment, I mean, you don't have to prove that you like black people. Show how to show the community, show everybody, black, Asian, Jew, like, let's get together now. Because this is a time where leaders need to step up their game. But if he's still playing the, you know, it wasn't me, so be it. And the reason why I say he may need to step down because he's going to face a lot of backlash. Because a lot of people will be on his case to step down. So what do? Fight the power and show that you're a true leader, or face the wrath of angry black people or angry people in general trying to tell you to resign? If you're a good leader, stay behind. Or you think you can't handle the hot seat, give it to someone else. Keisha?
I say he should stay on to show you that racism isn't going anywhere. You have racist people that are in your corporate office. They're not being asked to step down. They may say racist comments here and there and think it's a joke. So he's going to stay on and show you that these people really still exist. That's what I think.
And K-Dog, welcome, K-Dog.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Good evening, everyone.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Greetings. Bill, the Fishman Fishel, man, how you doing? I haven't spoken to you in a minute.
K-Dog. We have 30 minutes left. Let's go.
All right. Well, let me just get straight to the point. Listen, when it comes down to this thing of racism, I mean, we all know that racism is not going anywhere. And, you know, it's still going to be here no matter what. I mean, will it end in our lifetime? No, it won't. Or the next lifetime, we don't know when. However, as for the governor, yeah, stay in office. I mean, hey, we all made mistakes in the past. We all made those kind of stupid mistakes. But you know what? Yes, he's like, he made a stupid mistake. But the one thing I don't like is that he's flip-flopping. Was it you in the picture or was it not you? Take your pick. Just be bold. Just say, yes, it was me. But however, hey, you want to stay as governor? Go ahead and stay. Because, hey, we can't escape racism no matter where we go.
Wow.
No matter what generation
it is. That's a good point, K-Dog. Wow.
Thank you very much, Hot
Rod. And Sean, I'm sure you have something smart to say. Go ahead.
What I see out of this entire deal is that we can't have the double standard of the Republican who has a racist past, that has done something in the past, has tried to cover up, because as we've said before, it's not the crime that usually is the problem. It's lying about the cover-up and making the cover-up that makes it worse. And as you stated before,
I'm sorry, Sean. It wasn't a crime what he did.
I don't mean crime in the literal sense. I mean the actual incident being as what it is. No, he didn't kill anyone? No, he didn't kill anyone. That's not
but people fail to realize that. I forgot to bring this up. Yes, the picture is disturbing. But at the same time, I'm not questioning the governor. I'm questioning the school, the yearbook faculty, yearbook people, anyone who allowed this to happen and to be printed.
Yeah.
We should question those people as well
besides the
picture. Because maybe we was having a good time, blah, 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 behind closed door. We don't know what happened back in 1984. And it was, once again, a different mindset back then, over 30 years ago. But go ahead.
Yeah, and even more so, this is the year that we started to see African-Americans starting to get a mindset and a foothold in government. This was the year that Jesse Jackson decided to run for president of the United States. So these kinds of things were starting to get the ball rolling at that time. So there's a sensitivity involved. True, this happened in 84. But one of the things that he stated himself, Governor Northam said, was that this was one of the predominant things that were happening. A lot of people were doing blackface back then, and I don't know.
I believe that.
Now,
I believe that.
And he's in Virginia.
Back in the South?
In Virginia.
I'm not surprised.
So I don't know if this was a big thing among other white folks. It could have been. I don't know. But that's the biggest part of the issue, is the fact that if this is what he's saying is the truth, that speaks to a bigger disconnect between races in the South at the time, because there's still a lot of consternation between the races that have been going on even to this day. So to see a governor in a yearbook, no less, put on blackface, and we know the iconography involved in that and how disgusting and terrible it is and everything that it entails, but to have mm-hmm. that face up now after 20, 30 years, and then if he is able to explain this without the flip-flopping, without all of the other stuff that's been going on, that's one thing. But like I said before, as many times as we've seen Republicans in the same situation, whether they were a senator or whether they were a governor, and do the same kind of racist crap that's going on here, we would have ripped this guy apart. And I'm doing the exact same thing here, Democrat or Republican. If he's wrong, he's wrong. And in my opinion, based on what I'm seeing, he needs to go. If he wants to defend himself, he can do it, but not as a governor. Because somebody in that situation does not need to have the power of government behind him with something like that.
But,
that's just my
opinion. Let's be honest. Like Tisha and K-Dog said, there's many politicians like him up there.
And I know
there is.
And we could say the same thing for our president. He needs to go already.
Yes.
Exactly.
He needs to go, but he's not going anywhere for the next 2 years. And maybe for the next 6 years. Who knows? You know. People may like this type of garbage. Oh, he's out in open, he's a racist? Wow, kumbaya, let's vote for him. Go figure, you know.
Like I said before, racism is everywhere. I mean, you can't escape it. And on top of that, hey, is it going to go away anytime soon? No. It's not going to go away in our lifetime.
By the way, Phil, I got your back. I'm going to save you some black Sharpies so you can color your face for the show. So don't worry, I got But talk about coming out. Sean and I, we talked about this earlier last week. This Democrat mayor of South Bend in Indiana, his name is Pete Buttigieg,
I think is his name.
Buttigieg. I just saw the word butt. That's all. That's all caught my attention. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
I'm on a roll tonight.
Yo.
He's going to run for president, like every other candidate that's out there right now. But he will be known as the first openly gay man running for president. Now, I'm going to start with you, K-Dog, because you know a lot about politics. Let's get right to it. Do you think this country, with everything that's going on with your racism, bigotry, sexism, apparently this country's not ready for a woman president. Do you think this country, with everything that's going on in the world today, is ready for the first gay president from turning the White House to a pink house? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that part.
Well, to be honest, no, they're not, because I'm going to tell you why. The evangelical Christians. What do they always teach about? They're always preaching about family. They're always preaching about this. They're always preaching about that. They preach about righteousness and all of this. And would they allow a gay person to be president? No, they wouldn't. There would be an uproar because, wow, a gay president, what are you doing? What is this? Oh, no, they can't lead our country. They're going to turn America gay. That's the first thing they're going to say. I'm being real about it. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sean.
I think if you're looking right now at the way that the vitriol when it comes to that clash of cultures between the gay community and the straight community, when you see the rights that the LGBT community has fought for over the years, that have given them the right to do just things that people would consider a right, such as getting married, because Buttigieg is married. He's actually married. And it's not like you're saying, well, you know, people looking at the family life, as you stated before, they usually, the evangelical Christian section that is very heavy, especially in the South, in certain parts of the Midwest, that look at this as, wow, this is going to be blasphemy. I can't believe that. He's pretty much representing a good chunk of those values that they look at. The only issue is they're going to use that Bible as a reason to perhaps discriminate against his character, against what he believes in. And I think what we're looking at right now is that the country is ready to evolve past what we're used to seeing. The issue is, will it? As you said, Hot Rod, apparently this country was not ready for a female president based on all of the nonsense that came out of the debates and everything from 3 years ago. Are we ready to see a gay president or a lesbian president or a bisexual president? I don't know. I don't know if the country is ready yet because they still have issues with the former black president that was in office for 8 years.
And I still blame Obama for all this mess. Well, go ahead, Tisha.
Well, I think the LGBT community still has a long way to go because they're still fighting, you know, for their cause and for their equal rights that has not been granted to them yet. So, I mean, it's nice to see that someone is stepping up and showing that I'm human too and I can, you know, run. Either you pick me or you don't. So I think that's a first step for them. So that actually looks good. I'm trained with hearing about evangelical Christians who they condone molestation within their family and things like that. I'm drained with it. I'm really drained with it because they're hypocrites too, to a certain extent. So for him to, you know, come forth and say, okay, I'm going to run, I'm equal, I'm just like you, that's a first stand, I think, for him and his community as far as that goes. I'm just a little drained with everybody. Do you not see that the LGBT community, they are humans first?
Yes.
I'm drained with this status. They're males, they're females, they're humans, they're humans. I'm a little drained with it already.
And also think about this. Think about the fact that he is from South Bend, Indiana, where the state of Indiana, which our Vice President Mike Pence was the governor of. And if we remember, we know that as religious and Christian values as Mike Pence is, he once tried to make conversion camps normal in the state of Indiana to convert gay people into straight people. I want you to think about that.
You can't do that.
You can't turn a
gay person straight. There's no way you can't do that.
And those are the kind of obstacles that you have to go through to get to the point where we're seeing at right now.
Well, my opinion is I'm going to agree with just about everybody. This country is not ready for a gay president at this time because of the backlash and everything else that would go on. But at the same time, you know, if someone can do a job, whether he's straight or gay, why not give the person a chance? And if you can do the job, you can do it. But...
Well, society doesn't see it that way, and I think that's the major issue.
That's the sad thing about society.
That is what the issue is. You're correct. Society will not see it that way, and that's why I don't think the country is ready for whether it's a gay, lesbian, or whatever president. I mean, who knows? Maybe, I don't know, years down the line, you know, who knows
maybe
what's going to happen.
Maybe.
They're
definitely not ready.
Yeah, we don't have wishful thinking. Like, you know what? Let's be honest. When we was younger, we did say we would never see a black president, and look what happened. So who knows? 10, 20 years down the line, we may have a black female president, or a woman president, or a gay president. Go ahead.
Sorry, we also saw a black president due to the fact that the mess that Bush put us in. and nobody thought that Obama would get us out of it. So they kind of used him as the token guy to get us out of this mess, thinking, oh, he's not that smart enough to get us out. He'll just drain the country. And actually, he did a lot more for the country. So, no, no.
And usually when you're a minority, you have to work twice as hard to get half
of
the vote. And that's one of the things that has to happen if Buttigieg gets the nomination. He's going to have that mantra on him the whole time. And I can imagine what kind of filth he would have to go through the campaigning between social media and all of the other people from the religious right all the way down to the people that just don't believe in the LGBT community and their way of life.
And they're
is going to be something that he's going to have to really be strong enough to get through. And I think based on that, I think he's strong enough if he's putting his hat in the, his name in the hat to go and go ahead and do this. He's definitely strong enough to be able to do it.
Which is a great first step. That's what I think.
Well, I think Sean Hannity on not to attack anyone's religion or beliefs. I think Sean hit it right on the nail. Religion would be a major factor in this because, as you know, religion is a very strong thing in the country. And if they don't believe in gay and lesbian, that will stop the voting process overall of electing a major official, unfortunately, especially in the redneck area. I was called up the redneck area. That's always seemed to be a problem. Now, going from
Even if it stops it, I mean, okay, you don't win this one. Somebody else might want to run. Somebody else, you're going to start setting the trend. You guys can do it.
So in that sense, he would be the progenitor.
There's going to be more. It's going to open the door for more candidates, for many more. He's not going to be the last one.
And we're now starting to see less and less of this myopic thought process of people doing, well, he has to be or she has to be religious. She has to go to church. She has to do this. She has to do that. And we're starting to see a much more open field with many more diverse candidates out there with a different thought process, much more progressive thinking, open-minded, and hopefully we'll get better candidates as we go forward.
Okay. Talking from a gay topic to another gay-related topic, Empire Star. God, Sean, what's that guy's name again? Jesse?
Jussie Smollett.
Oh, yes. Quote-unquote was attacked in Chicago around 2 a.m. in the morning by two men chanting racial slurs, saying MAGA country. In addition, placed a noose around his neck and bleached him and beat him up. Tisha, do you buy this story 100%, or you think there's something more to the story?
Don't forget, you're missing out one part, right?
Yes.
He's released from the hospital, goes and performs on his single that's coming out, and he also says he's the gay Tupac. I wanted to smack him off the stage with that.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I don't know. His story is just, like, a little bit iffy to me because it's like you don't want to cooperate with the police and stuff. I would want to get these suckers. They show the footage. It's just two people that's walking. God forbid I was one of those people that was walking, and here goes the cops want to question me just for walking. I don't know. The story just sounds like it's a little bit twisted. Don't get me wrong. Something may have happened, and you may have known the person that attacked you, but I don't know what his story is. I really don't.
And it also sounds like
it's too coincidental. Too coincidental. Your single's coming out. Now you're getting everybody hyping you up on what's this new campaign, whatever with his name on it. But then at the end of your show, you're the gay Tupac. What the heck does that mean? I'm the gay Tupac. Can somebody tell me?
That's what I want to know.
The bottom line is this, and I know, Phil, you don't know too much about rap music or don't care about it, but the bottom line of this story is 2 a.m. in the morning. You're going out to go get something to eat. That's fine. So you tell me, at 2 o'clock in the morning, two men decided to carry a noose around looking for someone to beat up, a gay person to beat up out of nowhere.
He said that they used a racial slur. They used the anti-gay slur and a racial slur against him.
And but he was on the phone talking to his manager at that time. But like Tisha said, refused to give his phone in, refused to cooperate with the police. But he had enough to talk on stage and say you're the gay Tupac.
Wow.
I'm sorry. There's more.
Wow, I'm sure there's more to the story.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's more to the story. At first, I was like, you know, listening to his, and certain things came out. I'm just like, it's something doesn't sound right here. And don't forget, he was getting like death threats or whatever sent to his home, like through letters or whatever it was. Okay, maybe that did happen. But I got a feeling he knows who did it, and he just doesn't want to cooperate because he just doesn't want to, you know, get into it. And now that everybody, all the celebrities, you know, have this hyped up and, you know, heal him and this, that, the next, whatever the case may be, it's like he doesn't want to mess that up because he has all that support. So let me finish off my single, go perform, and definitely I could talk about Tupac because, remember, Tupac got shot up and then he came back. That's what he's trying to say. I'm the gay Tupac. Give me a break.
Oh,
you're not even Tupac.
Oh, my goodness.
But hold on.
You
got to
sit somewhere. Sorry.
No problem. So if this story, let's say the story is completely false, and was also he used the word MAGA. Do you think it will give a bigger fee to the Trump supporters? Like, look at this. We have not done anything, and you have people like this lying about Trump supporters giving an attack on black gay guys.
God. I think everybody is just so anti-Donald Trump. They'll do anything to try to get him out of office and say things that are just definitely out of the league. But as far as this guy saying the gay Tupac, that's a slap in the face to Tupac. Because I'll be honest, I've heard my brother say it a million times. Because Sean, you know my brother,
yes,
and what he loves rap and everything. He would rather listen to Biggie and Tupac over the music that they have today. He once even played me an interview with Snoop Dogg saying he can't even understand half the words that these rappers are saying today. I mean,
it's making money for some reason. It's making money.
Mumble rap.
But that's the only color that seems to matter when we talk about racist epithets, et cetera, is not about black versus white. For the most part, a lot of people think that the only color that matters is green. And
exactly.
I think I had this conversation with a friend of mine about maybe 2 hours before we went on air. And his
Hold
thought
on.
Process
you got
is.
Friends? Sean,
yes.
You have friends?
Have friends.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm shocked.
Anyway, his thought process is that he thinks that this is a lover's quarrel that got out of hand, and as evidenced by the story changing, parts of the story missing, the non-committal of helping with the police investigation with the cell phone. And then, as you stated before, he did the video, I guess, from the hospital showing how he was, how he was doing. And then he did the concert the Friday, just past Friday, and then the comments that followed afterwards. There are pieces of the story that seem to be missing. Some parts everywhere, but also at the same time. If we take the story for face value, just for what it is, for what has been reported, if this did indeed happen the way it was, it shows you the nasty underbelly that goes on between African-Americans and gay Americans.
Yeah.
Now, with all of that being said, we also don't know, as you stated, Pat Rod, it's 2 a.m, somebody's walking around in Chicago with a noose. And I think they also said they threw some sort of chemical on him, like bleach or something at him.
Yeah,
I'm not buying that.
So there's a lot. There are a lot of pieces that need to be corroborated for me to feel safe about everything in this story. I don't know what to believe to some degree. I think that something did happen. I'm just not sure what. In this sense.
Sean, Tisha, Phil, and K-Dog, we all could agree on this thing. If you are getting attacked at any time and you still have your phone, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Try to call the police.
Call the police,
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going
to
call the cops.
He did not call the police. He went home or he went to somewhere.
No, they say he
got
himself to the hospital. He got himself to the hospital.
Do that.
That's what they said. Nope.
If you get bleach, you should be burning right now. You should be yelling for help or something or dial 911. Something. But apparently that didn't happen. But I want to get to the last topic because it's time for Tisha and I to fight about this topic. She brought this up to me. And I love this topic right here. B. Smith.
Okay.
Sean, you read more about B. Smith. You know who she is. You know me. I don't know anybody.
Yes, I know, because it's so hard for you to remember anybody when you're actually sober. So it is what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
Anywho.
Oh, my goodness.
B. Smith, who I'll make a short synopsis. B. Smith, who is a lifestyle brand kind of similar to Martha Stewart. She has her own lifestyle brand. She helps people with things that you can do in the kitchen, at home, et cetera, et cetera. She made millions and millions of dollars off of her brand. She's been around for at least 20 years or so.
Don't
a few
model.
Years ago, she was diagnosed
with... she's a former model. That's all I remembered.
Yes. And she used to have her own network TV show. Well, she was diagnosed some years back with having Alzheimer's disease, and it has progressed to the point where her memory is such where she and her husband, whose name is Dan Gaspy, they have not been on the same wavelength from the sense of the way a relationship you would think would be of a married couple. Her husband is her caretaker. So here's where the story gets a little bit different, is the fact that since the relationship has evolved to what it is now, he now has a girlfriend. Now, mind you, B. Smith is black. The husband is black. His girlfriend is white. Her name is Alex Lerner. And they've been dating.
Correction.
I think,
Correction, Sean. Sean, live-in girlfriend. You have to say that.
Live-in girlfriend. I have to bring that up to make sure that part is taken care of. So they're living.
Yeah.
The girlfriend is living in the house with the married couple. And this was put on, I believe it was in Essence magazine or in one of the other magazines, and brought the story up. And not only have people come to, this is a very polarizing topic, because people have come to B. Smith's defense, oh, she's living with dementia, et cetera, et cetera. How could the husband do this? People are on her side. People have been giving, I believe, death threats to the husband. What do you guys think of this as far as anybody living with...
Give that to Tisha. Tisha says she had a lot to say, so the floor is yours, girl.
Take it.
Okay. I'll throw the question to you, Tisha.
Okay. First of all, when I saw the... it was like, I guess, a clipping of something that's supposed to come up, like a program. I'm not sure. Is it on Netflix, guys, or whatever it may be coming up on? But they're going to have a whole program about it. And the way they showed her, I really didn't like it, and I'm going to tell you why. So you have – my problem is when women are going through certain things, whether it's with their kids, let's say a kid has autism, or the same thing with her, she has Alzheimer's. She's been diagnosed, I think they said, 6 years ago.
Yes.
So men tend to seem very much – I would say less nurturing than what a woman would be like, and I'll come back to that in a second. Because I've seen men walk out of households when kids are diagnosed with autism and they want to live their life. They don't want to deal with that. So I'm going to get back into the sense where I've seen that they showed he has a live-in girlfriend. It's not because she's white. That didn't even bother me. But how do you have a live-in girlfriend? And this is my point, where it's less nurturing and you are insensitive. And they said that she was supposed to be helping styling Bee. Bee didn't look styled or anything. She just looked like she could have woke up and her husband could have helped her just do that, if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, like, very insensitive for him to even, you know, show that like that. First of all, I thought that was very, very, very insensitive. We didn't need to know those factors.
So I'm sorry, Tisha, do you have a problem with the relationship itself, or that the relationship is inside the same house as B. Smith?
I'm going to tell you right now why I have a problem, because it's, you're still married, isn't it, till death do you part? I've seen many older men that are in their 80s that will wait till their wife has died, still taking care of her. You understand what I'm saying? My grandfather was like that. Are you kidding me? You stay till death do you part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have a side piece. Don't bring that into the home. Let's take care of her. Let's heal her. And I'm going to give you a good example right now. Michael J. Fox came out with, what does he have? Is it on Parkinson?
Parkinson, yeah.
Okay. Michael J. Fox's wife didn't portray him like that. They showed you he had Parkinson's, what he's going through. You still see him fighting for the cause, but you don't see her sitting up with a man. Now, if that was vice versa and they showed Michael J. Fox's wife with a man, everybody would have a bigger backlash on this. She's nurturing her husband, and that's where I said that it's the nurturing part that men tend to miss. They think, okay, you know what? This is going to be over soon. Let me get a chick. Why you guys always got to have a side chick for something? Step up and nurture your damn self through the struggle.
Because. Have
any guys want to take the floor for that one? Any of y'all want to take the floor on that one?
I take the floor. Because let's be honest. K-Dog and Sean, they go chicken out and go tell you, like, oh, what he's doing is wrong. The man just wants to be happy. And there's nothing wrong trying to be happy.
Okay, he can be happy. He can be happy. You don't need to make it visible. It's just like when men have side chicks when their marriage is just going through maybe, oh, boo, we don't go out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a little side piece. Why?
That's
but don't let her have a side piece. You'll go crazy if she does. You'll be stalking her. Don't do that.
There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, go ahead, K-Dog. Entertain me.
No, listen. If you have to have a woman on the side, then why the hell are you married then? Then why the hell are you in a committed relationship?
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about they're going through a difficult marriage right now for what we see from the outside.
Okay, if you're going through a difficult moment now, but the best thing to do is like this. Hey, you got to stick around. What the hell you need a side chick for?
Okay, he can stick around. I understand he still has needs. He probably feels like, okay, she doesn't know anything. She probably doesn't even remember me. But you tough it out. Sure, you have that.
Yeah.
I would not want her in my household. That's my point that I'm making. That's what you're doing out there. I don't need to know about that while I'm ill. And you tend to her 100%. She should be priority. That girl probably is not even going to last long. I'm just letting y'all know that.
I'll give you a different perspective. I know of three different people that are caretakers to someone with Alzheimer's. And knowing that people go through the change that happens, where you see them completely forget who you are. They don't say who you are. They repeat themselves over and over and over and over again. To put oneself in one person's shoes to tell them how to cope within a family unit is very, very tough. Now, the optics of this look absolutely from the outside, looks selfish, looks disgusting, from the sense that this male, who is married, as you did say, Tisha, for till death do you part, are supposed to be there. I don't know how he treats his wife away from the camera, because we don't know. He could be the most nurturing person there is.
But at the
same time, from what I have been told, people that go through caretaking for someone with Alzheimer's, their relationship evolves from either husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend to caretaker and roommate. And I'm pretty sure that even though a lot of people have that same love for that person, it doesn't seem to be the same. Now, would you have that person live in there with you? I don't know if that is something that one would do, but I'm not them, so I don't know what works for that particular family unit. That's a tough call.
Okay. All right, I'll get to this new caller, 631. You are on the air.
Well, how you doing? Yeah, I wanted to respond. She was saying about some, you know, does any men want to take the floor on where it's more men not wanting to take care of women than women wanting to take care of men.
No, that's not what I said. I said in cases where kids have autism and things like that, the men tend to run. That's proven many times.
Yeah, no, the men don't run.
Yeah, no,
No, they don't. That's your perspective of
that's
from
actually
a woman's
not
point
a
of view of trying to act.
I've done the psychology.
Can I answer the question?
Okay.
No,
right.
I was just explaining. I was explaining what I said.
No, you're trying
so
to not let me
question.
Talk. That's what you're trying to do. Can I answer the question, please?
They're letting you talk, man.
Okay.
Now, if you want to listen to my response of what you asked for, and like I'm telling you, it's not true because men are the providers. Even if they're married and have to leave and there's a kid, they're still paying child support. And a lot of women will complain. No, a lot of women will complain.
That wasn't my question on that.
Well, you see, you're still not letting me finish. Damn.
Because I'm letting you hear what the question is. You're not even letting me tell you what my question was.
I heard the question when I was listening to the show, and that's what I'm answering.
You obviously didn't.
You see, your whole response is that whole point of you think you're right. That woman, and I sensed that when I heard you talking. So I said, let me call. She's trying to say, oh, well, does any man? Yes, a man is stepping up, and he's telling you that you're wrong, and you can't hear that. That's why
you
kept talking.
You can't tell me what my question
like
was.
Now.
I'm letting you understand that wasn't my question.
Hold up.
Okay.
There's also a doubt. We have 2 minutes left, and sir, let's let the gentleman finish his statement. Hey, go ahead, sir.
What I'm saying is in the defense of men with women that are expecting something from them, instead of securing their life and being able to take care of themselves as well. No, they want to blame men. And that's the problem right there, blaming somebody else. If the man wants to blame the woman, that's wrong. And if the woman blames the man, that's just as wrong. And more women are gold diggers than men. That's just a fact. And
are you
women,
finished with your point? Because that's not what
true.
I was
see,
saying.
No, you're not hearing me. You're waiting to respond. Why don't you try listening?
Okay,
listening instead of waiting to just respond without hearing what I'm saying. That's another problem that I sensed in her.
Okay, thank you, sir. Go ahead, Keisha.
You've got to be respectful.
First of all, what I was talking about was when women get sick and how men are not as nurturing. That's what I said. I even pointed out another point.
And that's a lie.
You obviously answered a different question because I didn't state that. That wasn't the question that was being asked, what you just answered to.
I am answering
the question. So maybe you must have a problem with a female or you must have been dating gold diggers or something. So I'm not understanding. I don't have any problem with men at all because you even heard me speak and speak on both ends.
You can't even stay quiet to let the other men speak. You can't even stay quiet to let the other men speak.
I'm always quiet to let whomever speak. Man or woman, you sound stupid on this call right now.
Okay, guys, thank you so much now. I'm terribly sorry about everything. Let's all just relax, take a breather. It's all good. This is a good show. Thank you all for calling, guys. Have a good night. Got Tisha, the caller, Sean Black, Phil, Kato. Once again, guys, thank you so much and have a good night now.
Yes.
As always, the pleasure was all yours.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Peace.